Chapter 3, 11 Evolved Enterprise Impact Business Models. When considering adding any of these elements or models of the evolved enterprise, it's important to consider something not really talked about in business, and that is the soul of your company. Huh? So by law, a corporation is its own entity, right? And as an entity, aka a body, the analogy follows that there's a soul inside. It can stand for something more, and just like we evolve, your business's purpose can evolve too. A business can be created with the purpose of simply maximizing bottom line profit, or it can be exponentially expanded by having a distinctive mission or big why. In the evolved enterprise model, these two do not have to be mutually exclusive. I've categorized 11 models, but in many cases, a combination of several really works synergistically. Evolved enterprise impact model number one, buy one, give one, B1, G1. One of the biggest and most well-known examples is easily Tom's Shoes. They've been a poster child for integrating and marrying impact with their business via their trademarked one-for-one model. Tom's has taken this and really run with it. I've talked to people who actually thought Tom's was a nonprofit, but really, they're a $300 million plus operation. The founder, Blake Bykowski, has a provoking book called Start Something That Matters, which traces his humble beginnings with IDEA in Argentina. It was there he saw firsthand kids going shoeless, and the brilliant idea was created. One of the biggest factors to their growth was the easy story or messaging consumers could spread of every pair of shoes provides a pair for a child in need. That's actually key, and we'll look at later on in story selling. Another side benefit Tom's has is that when they started was the distinct look of their shoes, so other customers could identify fellow in-kind supporters, and we'll hit on this in Community Code 2.0 with Artifacts. Blake says he never really expected to grow so big, but they came in at a perfect inflection point where bigger companies were eager to partner with brands that had or have a social mission component, and consumers were really aware of where their spending was going. Another powerful accelerator is partnering up with big companies that have massive reach and distribution. And that's a big benefit of being an evolved enterprise, is you'll get deals and joint ventures with companies that want to be associated with you for the halo effect. Tom started in shoes, but has branched out to other products that support communities around the world. Their line of eyewear restores sight to an individual through sight-saving surgery, prescription glasses, or medical treatment. And then, just this year, they've launched Tom's Roasting Company. With every bag of coffee purchased, Tom's provides 1 week of clean water to a person in need. The Buy One, Give One, B1, G1 model has been used in all sorts of products, everything from B1, G1 programs like the One Laptop Per Child or the One Football Project, with over 1.5 million balls being distributed, thanks to Chevy being a significant corporate partner. Tom's didn't come up with that B1, G1 model, but they've certainly got a lot of credit for it. So much so that I normally recommend evolved enterprises look to other models if it makes sense on a deeper level for their business. To just default to this buy one, give one doesn't give you the marketplace boost necessarily anymore, because that story has already been told. Plus, the model has been criticized for enabling a handout mentality. To some extent, I agree. However, I also think critics just prefer to be critics, and the amount of good companies like Tom's have done is significant. I applaud anyone making a difference. Blake has said one of the hardest things about being so big is actually the giving. I've interviewed Blake on stage, and he told me they've already given away 35 million pairs of shoes through partners. That's staggering. And they're always looking at ways to make a bigger difference on the ground, including now building a factory in places like Haiti. What's more, Tom's has created a platform that other evolved enterprises can jump on to benefit from their mass distribution and leverage. It's toms.com/marketplace. Here, they feature partners that stand for something and make a difference through commerce. I would imagine if it's an affiliate arrangement for each party, though it might not be. Tom's is able to use their loyal customers' goodwill, brand reputation, and distribution to introduce other companies doing something important. And I think this is a big step towards what Tom's is looking at, ways to truly transcend business, as we talked about before. Each brand has a page that provides their creation story and why, plus it lists who it helps and what region. Customers can shop by cause, by brand, by type of item, and so forth. Warby Parker is one of the best examples of making a splash at the buy one, give one models recently. Launched in 2010, the company has sold more than 1 million pairs of glasses using a direct-to-consumer approach online and undercutting the $500 designer eyewear price. Their 1 million pair milestone was hit in June 2014, and the biggest driver is their B1G1 messaging of donating a pair of glasses to someone in need with each purchase. The company tallies up the number sold at the end of the month and then donates an amount to one of their partners providing the eyewear on the ground. I'd be totally remiss if I didn't mention this fun example too. One of our previous underground presenters, Greg Clement, is a serial entrepreneur in multiple industries. One day, his pastor's 7-year-old son came up with an idea for a blanket to sell and to give away to kids in hospitals. Being the business guy, Greg became the CEO and headed up the Happy Blankie Project, everythinghappy.com. The core philosophy is one to love, one to give, and its mission is to donate blankies to children in need all over the world. They have made donations to orphanages and hospitals in Africa, Thailand, China, and Haiti, as well as several hospitals and Ronald McDonald houses across the U.S. I love the way Greg and the team have reframed buy one, give one with the bigger benefit of one to love and one to give. Very smart. It looks like they've now expanded also into licensed characters and other kids' accessories and clothing. For evolved enterprises that want to tie into this buy one, give one model, it's worth checking out b1g1.com, which is a membership community for companies that connects them to 900 plus opportunities for giving directly. According to the site, they've tracked 51,320,157 giving impacts created by small business being part of the B1G1 Business for Good worldwide. That's pretty good. Evolved Enterprise Impact Model number 2, Direct Impact. Specificity sells and showing where you're making a direct impact really works. One company that does this well is Feed, feedprojects.com. They started with a simple concept, buy one bag and feed one child for a year in a developing country. Boom. Simple idea combined with an outwardly physical symbol, the bag, and you've got a winning combination. After witnessing the effects of hunger firsthand, Lauren Bush founded Feed in 2007 with the mission of creating good products that help feed the world. She first created the Feed One bag, a reversible burlap and organic cotton bag. It was stamped with Feed the Children of the World and the number one to signify that each bag provides enough meals to feed one child in school for 1 year. To date, the business has been able to provide nearly 84 million meals globally. I love the idea of creating something that's wanted with a byproduct for good. For example, buy a fashionable bag and feed X number of children. The bag is very prominently printed with the word feed on it, and it gives the buyer donor an identity as someone who makes a difference with their purchases. What's more, they have one of the best, most innovative impact scoreboards I've seen. Their impact scoreboard shows a tree, and the roots of it show where they've come from with 550,000 feed products sold, number of styles of products, how many artisans who create the products, the 5 countries where feed products are produced, and so forth, and 13 the number of charity partners. And then the tree as it grows, the fruit on it is the results and the impact that they've had. So X number of meals donated, 1,000 backpacks provided, 49,000 students helped through another organization, and so forth. And so they can see the trunks and you can see the fruit. It's probably one of the best impact scoreboards that I've seen. That's really interesting. Two former underground speakers, Josh Bozzoni and Joel Marion, sell supplements and meal replacement products. Their company, BioTrust, donates a nutritious meal to a hungry child for every order. And Josh has told me that they've seen as high as a 15% increase in sales by incorporating this into their company. As of October 2014, they provided over 659,000 meals to hungry children through their partnership with No Kid Hungry. And what's more, they've also created campaigns to work with Make-A-Wish Foundation, and they've been one of the region's largest wish granters. He showed me how it worked on their shopping cart page, and there's actually an optional button that customers can choose, and they just simply select what dollar amount they want to do to make a wish. They've raised over $1 million to make a wish now, and it increased their shopping rate conversion by 15%. I say that's pretty good. Now, one of the pitfalls of a direct impact is making sure there's an authentic and understandable tie-in. You want your customers and fans to fully see the connection of what you're doing in order to spread your marketing message for you. I recently bought a new watch as a fun fashion accessory. It came in all sorts of cool colors with interchangeable bands, and I stumbled on the site right before going on our annual Maverick Impact trip to Haiti. And this company actually provided water filters for each watch sold to Haiti. The natural tie-in is a bit hard to explain to anyone who comments on my awesome new watch. And note, in creation and community chapters, we'll discuss how to create artifacts that people want to talk about and spread your selling stories. Now, it's critical that the story is strong enough and easy enough to spread. For instance, if I owned this watch company, I would create something maybe around the idea of time for change, or maybe take it one step further and create specific times, like 4:44 Eastern time is when everyone who's wearing this watch is reminded to think, imagine, visualize, meditate on global peace. I'm just kind of shooting from the hip here, but you can see just how much more powerful that might be for a watch brand. It builds community, and it does truly transcend business. When there's an authentic tie-in in every way, it gets so much more interesting. Maybe there's even a built-in alarm, obviously set to go off by default, for that time that reminds the wearers about it. I've seen studies of people coming together and meditate on peace that have shown to reduce crime rates in cities. Something interesting. Evolved Enterprise Impact Model number 3, percentage or dollar amount. Probably one of the most used ways for companies to make a difference is committing to a percentage or certain dollar amount donated to a cause or charity. I've got some more empirical proof that you make more money when you give more. One of my colleagues launched a new Forex trading course, and he decided to split test the certificate on a sales page. They tested with the certificate and without. But having the page with the certificate actually raised the conversion by 10%. Now, this was a $2,000 product, and the 10% bump helped them write a $40,000 charity check. Now, the certificate essentially said that they would donate to these different causes that they supported, and then the other page, the other version of it, just didn't have it. So this is really exciting because that 10% bump also represented tens of thousands in additional sales they wouldn't have had without this tie-in. Developing a percent or a specific dollar amount from a product works, but let's take this a step further. As an involved enterprise, you can create an even more integrated way of making this more impactful. Sevenly.org, founded by Dale Partridge, is a company really exploding because of their integrated impact. He presented to a group of our Maverick 1000 members how their growth came up with a compelling built-in story customers wanted to share. Dale told our group, really 80% of their new buyers came from social media shares. This is huge. That means that you can reallocate funding that might normally go into a marketing budget and move it into making a meaningful difference. What started out as just one t-shirt design per week has now grown to several other pieces of clothing and accessories. And you can see the power of their growing story selling because Sevenly has donated over $4 million in just 3.5 years and is growing rapidly. The concept is pretty simple for the direct impact. They donate $7 per featured purchase per week towards that featured cause as part of their seven main areas of help. Get it? Hence the name, the donation amount, and the length of time to accumulate the donation. Dale and team do an incredible job of harnessing their community and fans to help accelerate and spread their marketing message. And they're making a direct difference that can be counted by looking at their impact scoreboard that shows up on their site. Because each cause they work with has a direct impact, they can also show how many lives they've changed. And I love the transparency and specificity, showing how much money is raised, how many people were helped, and also total number of shares. What's more, there's also an extra element of scarcity because each design is sold usually in a limited edition that goes away after a week. At Maverick, each member we have automatically contributes to our impact fund. We use this fund to help entrepreneurial nonprofit and cause partners develop real-world solutions to their pressing problems. And then part of the fund is actually allocated to implementing the solution that we jointly created for them. I'm always thinking about how we can create a ripple effect with the amount accumulated. One of the experiments we've also started is actually taking a global cause. We started with the declining number of bees, and we worked together with young entrepreneurs to develop self-sustaining for-profit businesses to help there. The Impact Fund is used as prize money to get those ventures started. This way, it's not just a donation, but seed capital for something bigger. Evolved Enterprise Impact Model number 4A, donate what you want. This model is really interesting because you give consumers the power and choice of paying and or donating what they want. Humble Bundle has really blown up on this model. Humble Bundles are digital packages of software or games available for a limited time, example, 2 weeks. And these have been ultra successful, with several bundles generating over $1 million in revenue. According to Wikipedia, numbers in August 2013 put the bundles at over $50 million in total sales and $20 million in charity donations. I've also seen a few restaurants and even Panera's Bread experimenting with not having a fixed price on their menu. This site has a great overview of this concept and models for other restaurants. You can look at oneworldeverybodyeats.org. Evolved Enterprise Impact Model number 4B, donate where you want. The impact changes based on the product line bought. For instance, Project 7, project7.com, founded by Tyler Merrick in 2008, lets consumers decide on which of the seven causes they support, depending on the flavor of gum or mints they buy. The seven causes chosen by Project 7 are the areas where they see the most need in this world. As they say, feeding the hungry, healing the sick, supporting those who hope for peace, housing the homeless, quenching those who thirst, teaching them well, and saving the earth. These little purchases can add up for everyday items bought. My friend and best-selling author, Marie Folio, introduced this with her products and resources for entrepreneurs. Each for-profit training product has a different nonprofit initiative helping support women, girls, and female entrepreneurs in developing nations and much more. And you can see that on her site at mariefolio.com/giving-back. One Face Watch Company, oneface.com, sells fun and fashionable watches in all sorts of bright colors. The only difference is each color actually represents a different cause and a different direct impact. For instance, there's a yellow watch supporting Pencils of Promise with 5 watches sold equaling a year of education. Or you can get the white watch supporting cause partner Faces of Change which develops rural food programs. One watch equals feeding 10 people. Essentially, the buyer can pick their favorite trendy color or make a purchase based on the direct impact that they want to make. And at $40 a watch, you might even pick up several. And if you're in a certain age group like I am, you might remember back in the day wearing two or three swatches at once. So maybe this will catch on again. Evolved Enterprise Impact Model number 5, All In. Newman's Own is the king of this model from humble origins in 1982 with a homemade salad dressing outlined in the book Shameless Exploitation in Pursuit of the Common Good, written by the famous actor and his co-founder, A.E. Hotchney. The brand, even after Paul's passing, has grown into mega food empire and has given away over $300 million by 2010. The business model is to give away all profits to organizations aligned with the company's values. They started with funding camps for seriously ill children and have expanded. Of course, it doesn't hurt to have some Hollywood glitz sprinkled with Paul dressed up in funny outfits for each product, but there's no denying the level of impact they've had. Greystone's Bakery, greystone.com, philosophy is we don't hire people to bake brownies, we bake brownies to hire people. What originally began as a modest bakery has grown into a broad array of programs supporting the community. With over $11 million in revenue, one of the keystones has been Greystone's aims to hire the hard-to-employ in open hiring practices, where anyone can sign up regardless of background. All profits from the company go to the Greystone Foundation, which uses it for low-income housing, daycare open to the community, a medical center for those with AIDS, and other community endeavors. Now, all profits does not mean this is a nonprofit venture, nor should it be. I worry about a no-profits model for entrepreneurs that come to business with a deep desire for impact without considering the financial side. They have a mistaken identity that they should put every cent into the cause, almost like the starving artist misconception. Perhaps this has come from the values portrayed in the media or popular culture about the filthy rich, or the notion that you've screwed someone in some way, or even misunderstood dogmas about the virtues of poverty. That couldn't be more incorrect. Business relies on providing value in exchange for the consumer's money. The buyer is not coerced or forced into making a purchase. We run a family freedom entrepreneurial event each year for kids 6 to 16 and their parents, and more information is at maverick1000.com/family. The event is all about teaching business ideas to kids and actually getting them out on the streets to figure it all out for themselves. It started off over the 4th of July, and now we've moved around to different times of the year, but the children get divided up into teams, selling all sorts of light-up bracelets or other patriotic products that we did for July 4th. And each team is responsible for knowing their margins and costs, plus figuring out their promotional and selling tactics. Now, I remember a few years back, one team got the idea that all the money would go to support the local fire department in Park City, Utah. That was where a lot of wildfires were raging when we were there, and it made an easy decision. One of the Maverick parents arranged to get full-on fire coats and boots for the kids, and then they took their inventory of glow sticks and provided to sell them for donations. Their sales, in quotes, totaled approximately $1,800, and I believe maybe the next closest team came in at maybe $150 or $200. So while they technically made more, they didn't keep it. After paying their hard costs back to Mr. Yannick, they then donated everything to the fire department. So then afterward, this led to a really good discussion at our debrief about what would happen now that they had essentially zero capital to buy more inventory or advertise. By giving away every cent without any thought to compensation or other expenses, it leaves the company vulnerable to going out of business and then creating zero impact. I have absolutely no qualms with founders and key team members being paid exceptional profits, but only if they're providing exceptional value. And this is also a balancing act of what dollars or percentages are contributed to the impact side of the equation. Evolved Enterprise Impact Model number 6, Source Matters. I've been really impressed with so many clothing and food companies looking back at exactly where their supply chain comes from and the impact along the way. They've certainly led the field here at this impact model. For instance, Yves Chouinard, the founder of Patagonia, has always been about putting the environment first, even before their company, which I think may have only helped their sales and fan base since consumers can spot inauthentic values. Over the past 40 years, Patagonia has consistently done the unusual, from looking at how to use only ethical raw material to even telling consumers to purchase less of their products with a recent Black Friday full-page ad, and we'll talk about this in creation. In 1996, they switched from conventional to organic cotton. It raised their raw material cost by 3x, but they did it because it was less harmful to the environment. As a private company with sales over $400 million, Chouinard is passionate about showing small and big companies how to do business in a different way. According to the founder, "I hang on to Patagonia because it's my resource to do something good. It's a way to demonstrate that corporations can lead examined lives." Interestingly enough, they formed a sustainable apparel coalition with unlikely partners like Walmart and Levi's. However, it's about a positive ROI because the members with bigger footprints actually have the ability to make small changes with tremendous impact and bottom line results by looking at their supply chain. According to a recent Wall Street Journal article, when Walmart worked with Chouinard, they actually saved money through environmental initiatives, like reducing its packaging and water consumption. And that's the secret. There has to be, and there already is, a real economic incentive to make a difference. Transparency. Patagonia was also one of the first to provide transparency with their footprint chronicles, detailing 100% of what goes into their products. You can see it at patagonia.com/us/footprint. In a similar vein, one of my favorite gear companies is Icebreaker, taking transparency to another level. I pretty much live in Icebreaker clothing, including my undies that I'm wearing right now. TMI? Icebreaker makes all their clothing from merino wool because of the softness, durability, and low odor absorption, among other characteristics. And they'll let you even trace back your item to the source, the sheep. There is a BAH code on the clothing to check the living conditions of the sheep, meet the growers who raise them, and follow the production process through to the finished garment, according to the site. I admit I haven't checked in on the sheep used for my gear, but just simply having that code provides me with the peace of mind that there's care and forethought with the source. Hail Mary, a producer of delicious raw food goodies, creates transparency in an elegant way on their packaging with these five words before listing what's inside. We celebrate our pure ingredients. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Perfect. Another evolved enterprise doing this in an interesting way is Elvis and Kress. This design firm started when the founder saw abandoned fire hose headed for the landfill. They thought it was a beautiful material to work with, and they've now created bags, wallets, and belts, etc. from the hose. Elvis and Kress redistributes up to 50% of their products to projects and charities related to the unique materials they reclaim. So 50% of the profits from their fire hose range are donated to the firefighters charity. Here's what they say on their site. Why do we make these donations? At Elvis and Kress, we believe in the notion of good business. Our business was established to solve environmental problems, waste problems in particular. We started with the fire hose and now reclaim more than 10 different materials. Beyond this, we also want to engage our material partners, our key stakeholders. Why not share? Why not see if more good could be done with the surplus of an already good business? Why not? In this sense, we are lucky. Most traditional businesses are only able to measure their success in one way, the bottom line. At Elvis and Kress, we have two additional measures of success: how much waste we're able to divert from landfills, and how much money we're able to give back to our charities, of which all three have equal importance to us. So what makes this really intriguing to me is that the material itself is in total authentic alignment to the way their impact created. And it's also a really cool material. You should check out some of their stuff, and it makes their final end product that much more interesting, and that's much more differentiated. Tico, K-O-E, is an artisan tea company from Colorado, and a really good example of a company taking into consideration sustainability in what they're doing. On their page about sustainability, tico.com/pages/sustainability, they reveal exactly how they focus on making their environment better by operating this way. Tico made their packaging and teas compostable and packaging eco-friendly, but they've also considered other factors beyond their core components too. They look at manufacturing, recycling, waste byproducts, low emission delivery vehicles, and even setting responsible business practices. Evolved Enterprise Impact Model number 7, Experience the Good. Charity auctions and fundraisers have been a staple of donation efforts for nonprofits, but a new group of companies has come mixing this with celebrity firepower. Charity Buzz, charitybuzz.com, is an online auction marketplace where you can bid on unique experiences. Charity Buzz keeps 20% of the auction price and gives 80% back to the charity. The organization is doing big things with a milestone of over $100 million raised for different charities since its inception in 2005. In a similar vein, there's ifonly.com, which also provides unique experiences with celebrities, chefs, tastemakers, and luminaries. They operate as an auction program or a fixed price. A really interesting entry in this category is Omaze, O-M-A-Z-E.com. And they work a little bit like a sweepstakes, where they put up really intriguing experiences to benefit charities, like maybe riding around in a real tank with Arnold Schwarzenegger and smashing things. The interesting twist they've added is a viral component to give you more chances to win, and they let you purchase multiple packages of entries with better rewards attached to them. For instance, for a recent experience with comedian Seth Rogen, you could purchase entries from $10 to $25,000, guaranteeing a sit-down lunch with Seth at the highest level. Their split with the charity is a similar 80-20. Evolved Enterprise Impact Model number 8, Empowered Employment. This model is called Empowered Employment because the companies work directly with underserved or marginalized communities for labor, creation, and design. But it's not simply a feel-good aspect of the business because when integrated creatively, it actually produces a real value-driven differentiator. Some of these examples to learn from are a mix of profit and nonprofits. Founded in 2008 by Lila Janna, Samosource.org uses the model of digital outsourcing to address poverty by redirecting a small part of the $200 billion spent on outsourcing to poor women and youth in developing countries. Samosource estimates 43 million people could benefit from the micro-work model, which transforms complex data projects into small computer-based tasks. This work helps women and youth build skills and generate life-changing income. Being pragmatic here, the work has to be on par and on budget with what these clients could contract in other ways. But if that's the case, then the halo effect is huge here, and it makes a really easy decision to work with Samosource. And when there's alignment around something bigger, the universe really does seem to conspire to come together in our favor. There are moments that Carl Jung would label synchronicity that have significant meaning well beyond coincidence. One example of this is actress and singer-songwriter Caitlin Crosby, founder of The Giving Keys, and she might agree. She would wear an old New York City key around her neck engraved with inspirational words. On tour, she'd sell an assortment of these keys with messages like hope, strength, believe, faith. Every night, the keys would sell out, and she'd start to encourage people to give their necklace to someone they felt needed the message on that particular key even more than they did. Now, the keys are creating stories and connection, and it's shared on the givingkeys.com site. The notion of a conscious business really clicked one night when she saw a couple on Hollywood Boulevard sitting under an umbrella and holding a sign that said, ugly, broke, and hungry. So she took the couple out to dinner, and she discovered that they actually made jewelry. And that was exactly what she needed. Rob and Sarah joined the team and started making Giving Keys the very next day. Today, the Giving Keys employs those who are looking to make a transition out of homelessness. They partner with the United Way and PATH, a reputable transitional home in LA. And this combination makes an evolved enterprise powerfully compelling to consumers and partners. Today, the Giving Keys are carried in over 500 stores in the U.S. and internationally, including Anthropologie, Fred Siegel, Henry Bendel, and Kitson. Miracle Couriers in India is another exceptional example of a transcending level evolved enterprise worth spotlighting. Miracle Couriers' business model is based on creating a service-driven, profitable enterprise that utilizes the debt. In India, anyone with a disability is typically discriminated against, and there's a severe lack of government support for the deaf population. Miracle Couriers was born when the founder focused on a courier business because it requires a lot of visual skills but no verbal communication. Fact is, the deaf are extremely good at map reading and remembering roads and buildings because they are so visually inclined. So with each package delivered, the couriers also provide an educational sheet educating their customers about being deaf and how they can help. Again, this is a total win-win-win across the board. In a similar fashion, Signs Restaurant in Canada, signsrestaurant.ca, hires deaf servers and hopes to help create a dialogue between those with hearing difficulties and the non-deaf people eating there. All the menu items come with ASL cheat sheets to help everyone communicate and experience a shared bond. It's an engaging concept that can make a difference. Ultra Testing, ultratesting.us, takes this concept of empowered employment one step further. Founded in 2012 by a pair of former MIT roommates on the premise that disability can be a source of competitive advantage, Ultra's first service delivers high-quality software testing by employing onshore teams of individuals with autism spectrum disorders. There are 1.5 million Americans on the autism spectrum scale, and they're usually at a disadvantage in traditional office environments, but not everywhere. People with autism and Asperger's tend to engage in repetitive behaviors that others might consider boring, which allows them to maintain focus as they test whether a certain piece of software works on different devices, operating systems, and web browsers over and over and over again. Actually, a significant advantage and perfect match for the work they're doing here. Several nonprofits have taken the lead here as well with empowered employment development. For nearly 30 years now, Homeboy Industries has been serving high-risk, formerly gang-involved men and women with a continuum of free services and programs that operates 7 social enterprises that serve as job training sites for their boys and girls. Today, Homeboy Industries spans printing, groceries, baked goods, diners, and apparel. Plus, they've even licensed products with Ralph's Supermarkets, and their licensee is a Homeboy diner at the LAX airport. A significant pioneer of this model is Delancey Street, delanceystreetfoundation.org, with revenues topping $24 million between their interconnected group of companies. Founded in 1991 by Mimi Halper-Silber, with just four residents and a $1,000 loan and a dream to create a new model to help people out of substance abuse and employ former felons, Dr. Silber has received national and international attention for her achievement at Delancey Street, demonstrating her belief that the people who are the problem can themselves become the solution. Delancey successfully operates all sorts of businesses, ranging from cafes and catering to small manufacturing firms building handcrafted furniture, ironworks to service-based enterprises providing car service, printing, landscaping, and moving. The average resident has been a hardcore drug and alcohol abuser, has been in prison, and is unskilled, is functionally illiterate, and has a personal history of violence and generations of poverty. The minimum stay at Delancey Street is 2 years, while the average resident remains for almost 4 years, drug, alcohol, and crime-free. During their time at Delancey Street, residents receive a GED and are trained in three different marketable skills. Another example is Opportunity Village, opportunityvillage.org, heralded as one of Las Vegas's most impactful organizations. The organization is a conglomerate of business services and ventures working with people with intellectual disabilities. They not only provide skill training for employment, but they also run their own business units internally. These range from package inserts, shredding, document imaging, button creation, wholesale baking, and more. One of my favorite programs was when the Maverick members visited was actually their creative ventures. And that has participants selling their own artwork, and they keep 50% of the profits. I bought some actually really wonderful artwork there, and it's absolutely incredible. Think of your significant competitive advantage here with the teams of empowered employees having a bigger, deeper, more meaningful relationship at work. The degree of loyalty and full engagement they have is at a totally different level here. Evolved Enterprise Impact Model number 9, co-development. This model directly connects the producers and buyers, creating an even better experience and impact for everyone involved. Take a look at Good Eggs, goodeggs.com. They position themselves like a grocery store, but better, since you order online directly from farmers and food makers for delivery of the freshest foods. It works for everyone, and the model is great for producers since they know exactly how much to make to reduce waste and spoilage. And it works for consumers too, since they get not only the freshest and most in-season produce, but they get it right now and right away. Good Eggs is currently in a few cities right now, but hopefully expanding. AidThroughTrade.com was started in 1993 by a former Peace Corps volunteer, is now one of the leaders in the fair trade fashion industry and employs over 75 women artisans in Nepal to create jewelry from high-quality glass beads. AidThroughTrade connects these jewelry designers to consumers in the West and in turn provides fair trade business practices for the employees, everything from fair pay to additional benefits such as retirement and healthcare benefits that usually are not available. iDev International is a New York-based impact investment firm that develops industries in emerging countries. In Peru, for instance, they've helped farmers build an international business out of tara, a native tree species, which fruit has historically been consumed just locally. After finding new applications for tara in the global food, pharmaceutical, leather, and pet food industries, 200 Peruvian farmers organized a co-op. This co-op generates nearly $7 million in revenue for its members. On a recent trip with Virgin United to South Africa, our group spent some time with the Branson School of Business there in Joburg and visited a few of the graduates' actual ventures. I remember kicking around an idea there with Steve Bennett, and Steve and his wife Sarah, who already had a very successful Gems TV shopping channel in the UK, selling gemstones and jewelry, a little bit like a QVC or an HSN here in the US. In passing, I said something like, hey, you guys should come up with a channel that only features these incredible products that make a difference. Well, I'm extremely pleased to see Steve took that notion and launched Equal World TV, equalworld.com. Now, he totally gets all the credit here for running with the idea and making it happen. It's the first ever profit with purpose TV shopping channel with a way for social enterprises around the world to get their products to consumers. Evolved Enterprise Impact Model number 10, Ethical Opportunity. A little extra income for most people is life-changing. And in developing countries, extra income is completely game-changing. Impact Model number 10 piggybacks on already proven models of having reps distribute your products, creating a new breed of evolved enterprises. If you look at direct sales goliaths like Avon or Amway, they are self-replicating masters with their business opportunity that allow reps to sell a full array of products. Living Goods founder Chuck Slaughter, fresh from his success at mail order giant TravelSmith, actually looked at this model and thought it could be replicated to make a bigger impact. He wondered if the power of Avon's model of door-to-door agents could lower costs, grow profits, and improve rural reach. Living Goods franchises its brand and business model to women entrepreneurs who work as independent agents. To launch their own Living Goods franchise, agents receive a microloan and initial setup of inventory and business tools. Starting in Uganda in 2008, there are now over 1,000 agents making a real difference and earning a real income for themselves. The company has just also expanded into Kenya, and it's really exciting to watch because direct selling is one of the fastest growing consumer models, especially in developing countries. Vision Spring leverages direct agents to make it work in a big way. They're targeting the bottom of the pyramid, BOP, with 3,000 or less in annual income and representing 4 billion consumers. They're not looking at this group as needing handouts, but rather as a viable market that can be activated through a high volume and low margin approach. They employ a hub and spoke system where their optical shops function as hubs and the vision entrepreneurs, their sales agents, act like spokes, conducting outreach in the community surrounding the optical shops. Each one supports and sustains the other. Vision entrepreneurs are local people that the organization has trained to conduct vision screenings and educate their communities about the importance of eye care and the benefits of corrected vision. Vision Spring stores generate income via programs in which higher profit margins on more expensive glasses subsidize basic eyewear for the poorest consumers. They continue operating on a nonprofit basis while working towards profitability in every country where they operate. The El Salvador unit is already profitable, and they expect operations in India to achieve profitability by 2015. Bigger companies have been experimenting with this direct sales model too. In Brazil, Nestle is reaching bottom-of-the-pyramid consumers in urban favelas through a network of micro-distributors and direct sales agents. The Nestle Atvoxa model provides an opportunity for women from their local communities who have lived there for at least 5 years and built up trust. The direct selling model has grown with independent reps using their own social networks, and one of these growth areas is known as party plan selling. You've probably been invited to one of these or know about them. The most famous is Tupperware, but there are a lot more. There's everything from jeans parties, candle parties, handbag parties, jewelry parties, toys and puzzles, skincare, and so much more. Nearly anything can be sold this way. I've yet to see a company really employ the evolved enterprise model with party selling, so it could be a tremendous untapped distribution channel. There's a remarkable opportunity to combine a biz op for individuals to make a little bit of extra income, almost a universal want, with a product that's really good and makes a difference. Evolved Enterprise Impact Model number 11, Ecosystem. A few years back, one of the clients I coached said something I really liked. The more meta you go, the more leverage there is. I've been really engaged thinking about the leverage available through the interconnected nature of an ecosystem. This is an advanced model, but one that can work on so many different levels. My friend Ari Weinzweig, co-founder of Zingerman's, is fond of mentioning the healthiest ecosystems are the most diverse and complex. He should know, Zingerman's is one of the companies I really admire for the unique way they built an interconnected, kind of a vertically integrated grouping of related businesses. Now, I'd read and heard a bunch about Zingerman's approach to business and knew it was interesting and different, but didn't realize just how unusual it really was until I dug in. And the more I saw, the more I really loved how they built their business, the philosophy, the culture, and so much more. There's a reason Inc. magazine once referred to them as the coolest business in America in one of their issues. So here's the backstory. It all started in a simple deli in Ann Arbor, Michigan in 1982 with co-founder Paul Saginaw. The notion was to give local residents real, authentic deli food and never skimp on the quality. So over the next decade, Zingerman's Deli became a hit for their food, but then they also hit a plateau at about $5 million in revenue. It was at that point where they came up with an ingenious plan for creating growth without sacrificing the elements of being a small business in a community they loved. In fact, Ari was adamant that he would not expand Zingerman's Deli to a bunch of other cities, attempt to duplicate the ambiance or what was special and unique about it, and create some mediocre version of what he had started. Interconnected community of businesses. So instead, in 1992, Ari and Paul wrote out their vision for 2004. It was to have a group of 10 to 12 small businesses referred to as Zingerman's Community of Businesses, or ZCOB, and that's exactly what happened. Each one would bear the Zingerman's name but have their own unique identity and specialty. Everything from a bake shop to a mail order facility to a training and seminar company, teaching the secret sauce of their success. But that's only really half the story because they all sell to each other as well. So they've created a built-in customer base. So for example, the bakery makes all the baked goods, so their breads and so forth, and all that goes back into the deli and also sells wholesale out to other retailers. And they use shared resources of IT and HR and PR and marketing, payroll and so forth, running it as another division with each business unit actually paying into it a percentage. I love immersing myself in their world while visiting for great food and new insights. I couldn't recommend even more getting up there or at least picking up Ari's recent series of Lapsed Anarchist Approach books available at zingtrain.com. So what's an ecosystem? Well, let's define it from Wikipedia. An ecosystem is a community of living organisms, plants, animals, and microbes, in conjunction with the non-living components of their environment, things like air, water, minerals, soil, interacting as a system. These biotic and abiotic components are regarded as linked together through nutrient cycles and energy flows. As ecosystems are defined by the network of interactions among organisms and between organisms in their environment, they can be any size but usually encompass specific limited spaces, although some scientists say the entire planet is an ecosystem. Side note, I would agree. Natural ecosystems include reefs, rainforests, organic farms, and even our entire planet or universe. Man-made ecosystems might include communities, cities, and networks. Seeing the bigger interconnected picture. So let me share a few more examples I've helped conceive. I had one gentleman come to me in the corporate training market. They had certain relationships already in place with companies for different types of training areas. I had him create a powerful triad ecosystem model that brought together content experts, people that wanted to do the actual training, trained by the content expert, and the companies buying the training for their employees. This triangulation impact. Circling back to Bruce Poon Tip from G Adventures, he has a triangular theory of how a nonprofit can work for a for-profit company. They created the Planetara nonprofit that also works with other companies but is funded by their travel adventures. The nonprofit controls and regulates the projects done in the areas where G Adventures run trips. The for-profit company would make it a financial success, and the local community, the third part of the triangle, works with both groups. This actually builds a sustainable advantage and delivers a more meaningful experience for their travelers. One of the first starts was in the jungles of Bolivia. They brought in locals, many of whom had been at war with each other for generations, to see if they could build an eco-lodge. Working with an NGO partner and providing the initial capital, G Adventures then sent their tours through that area to make a stop at the lodge that they created. Now this set up a win for everyone, and they decided to start their own separate foundation, Planetara, to do the triangulation projects even quicker. Ecosystem that grows everyone in the network. To give you a glimpse at my latest thinking, I want to show you an evolved enterprise to support orphans in Haiti. For the past 5 years, Maverick members have raised over $500,000 to build self-sustaining villages in Haiti through Caring House Foundation. And our on-the-ground partner is Hope to Haiti, hopetohaiti.com, run by Scott Bunnell. On the last trip, a group of Mavericks and guests made a commitment to create a for-profit, self-sustaining business to fund Hope to Haiti's work with orphanages in Haiti. Together, we developed an involved enterprise model that helps in so many different ways and uses ecosystem thinking. It started with a bit of sleuthing and finding out what kind of things have actually sold before to donors. And Scott mentioned Christmas greeting cards. Now, I thought that we were onto something at that point. And I knew there might be something big when he also mentioned his 10 for Them program. For just $10 a month, you can support an orphan living in a foster family. That was a breakthrough, and then we brought together that with the idea to provide beautiful hand-drawn artwork from the orphans as thank you cards. The hook is they come 10 to a pack, and we donate 10 for them. So that's $10 per month going to support one Haitian child in desperate need, providing the essentials of food, clean water, shelter, clothing, and even education. It works for everyone. It's not just a handout. The customer also wins because there's real scientific evidence that gratitude increases your happiness level. And a simple handwritten note goes a long way for increased connections and relationships. Actually, I'm continually astonished at how much impact a handwritten note actually has, especially in this digital age. And I have a blog post on the long-lost art of handwritten notes that you can check out at my blog at yannicksilver.com/handwritten-note. I could easily see an entrepreneur or business owner buying this for their team to send out thank you notes on a regular basis. And that's another key point. The subscription pack appears each month and practically forces the recipient to use it for and with the people that matter most in their lives. Even better, the ecosystem expands in our diagram to include a connection between the subscribers, buyers, and orphans, where they might connect together, maybe as simple as an online bulletin board for messages of hope. On the supplier side, one of the key components the business would have is buying recycled soy-based ink printing or something like that, so it's better for the environment as well. And then on the ground in Haiti, there's immense benefits. This venture would help pay the established artists who are providing art instructions to the orphans. Haitian artists are actually some of the best in the world, and this type of creative outlet is proven to help bolster people's happiness. One of the orphans each month would receive then a scholarship for creating the artwork that was selected for the monthly design. So as you can see, there's a lot of these interconnected pieces way beyond just a donation. It's a massive value add for each side, And as a subscriber, I'm not just buying these thank you cards because they help someone, but because they help me too. And that's a key distinction. There has to be a marketplace-driven value for everyone. An evolved enterprise is not about guilt-driven marketing and solicitations, but actually being a greater benefit and value for everybody involved. The platform wins. Thomas Edison won by creating an entire ecosystem for his invention of electricity. He created the bulbs, the power stations, and the wiring, among other pieces of the platform. Everything works together, and the entrepreneur that can co-create the platform or interconnected ecosystem is the one that's going to have the biggest impact. Built-in ways evolved enterprises can create an impact. Your business actually has significant leverage that might be underused or underappreciated. No matter the size or scope of your company, you already have different ways you can consider applying the evolved enterprise concepts without really even spending a dollar. Number one, distribution channels. Think about what your voice can do via your email list, social followings, database, package inserts, etc. Skills, harness the specialized talents of your team and put them to work to help causes that resonate with you. You can even micro-volunteer online. Number three, your product or service offered. Through the offerings you put out, you can actually make a difference. Ideas, use your entrepreneurial brain power to make a difference for organizations that matter. And number five, employment supply chain. Who you buy from can be a significant source of redirecting your already existing expenditures too. And we already talked about the model of empowered employment, so you know that works. So what did I miss? Any other evolved enterprise impact models that you've seen that might not fit these categories or some great examples that you want to share or talk about? Make sure you join the conversation to discuss and connect with these ideas in our private Facebook community for evolved entrepreneurs at evolvedenterprise.org/co-create.